This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magadan. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Thank God. I want to give all praises and glory to God. He is worthy. Lord, you're worthy. If nobody else say you're worthy, God, you're worthy. I'll say it. Lord, and we love you. We lift you up. I love you. I lift you up. Hallelujah. Lord, knowing you is more precious than diamonds, more beautiful than diamonds, more precious than gold. And what, God, I thank you right now for your love and kindness toward me, because I don't deserve you. I don't deserve the breath that I breathe today, but you bless me with it, and I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the strength you've given me today. I don't deserve your anointing, but Lord God, you saw enough in me that you bless me and trust me with it. I thank you, God. I thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. Father, I pray that you soften the hearts of those that hear today, that I may plant a seed and interject some spiritual thing into their life. Father, that their hearts will be like the tablets that I write upon the word of faith, God. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, Lord, I pray that you help each one, young and old, no matter where they are in life, you give them a blessed word on today, Lord God, through your Holy Spirit in my mouth. Father, I thank you right now. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for the word of God. I thank you for the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Lord God, for just all these people that you've assembled in this place today. We give you glory and we honor you, God, with all praises being unto you. Now, Lord God, after you've healed, delivered, set free, after you've blessed us in this service, we'll be careful to give you glory and praise. And we will join in with the many-winged seraphim, the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare that you're holy, God. You're holy, God. You're holy, God. And your glory fills the earth. And we thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to use for a thought today a title, a topic of this message, because so many things are happening today that we are not focused. I want to say to you, stay focused. Stay focused. Easy topic, something that you can remember, something you can take away from here on today. Amen. And they didn't, and they forgot. And you know how we do, we forget. It's really our fault, the reason why we're in the condition we're in, but we start finding other people and other things to blame. They blame the giants in the land. Then they blame God. Then they blame Moses. I wish I had somebody. We sometimes forget it's really our fault and our lack of faith that we don't achieve what God has for us to achieve in the time he wants us to. Amen here. So here it is, they found themselves in verse 5. He says, they told him, said, why you brought us out of Egypt to die in this wilderness, in this desert where nothing grows and ain't nothing going on, ain't no excitement, and our money don't mean nothing out here. We don't have, I mean, look, this is the problem that I had with what they did, is that they didn't even realize that God was keeping them, because none of their clothes got old. Preach. None of their shoes got worn out. After 40 years of walking, you got the same pair of shoes on and nothing happens to the shoes. What a miracle. Lord, have mercy here. You are a walking miracle and don't realize it. I wish I had some people in here that realize. Look, you are a walking miracle and don't even realize how good God has been to you. And we begin to complain. The next time you start to complain, stop, pull out your mirror and look and say, I am a miracle. And that ought to stop your complaints. Because if the devil could have his way, I know you say you've been fighting the devil, but the devil don't just come to fight. He don't come. He come to steal. He come to kill and to destroy. I wish I had somebody here. And so you ought to be thankful that God is giving you victory every day. All right. So he said that they went in the wilderness, and he said, they said the complaint was, why did you bring us out of the wilderness to die? And then look at what he said in part B of verse 5. He says, for there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loathed at this light bread. He said that there is no bread and there is no water. That's what they were saying, but they didn't realize it was, you're saying there's no bread and you're saying there's no water, but we're still living.
I may not have what they have, but I'm still alive. Lord have mercy here. Look, I may not have the kind of bread they have. I may not have the sweet bread. I may not have the yeast rolls or whatever you like to eat, but I got bread that's keeping me alive. And I may not have the water they have, but I got water and I'm not worried about thirst, but I got big eyes. I want somebody else's water. Lord have mercy here. They begin to complain. And I want you to see here that the complaint here that they were complaining against was not just ordinary bread. It was not just ordinary water. This is a picture of Jesus Christ. Oh, come on and say amen here. Because the bread was the manna from heaven. And so what were they saying? They were saying, God, the bread of heaven is not what we want. They were saying, don't feed me with the bread of heaven. I want somebody else's bread. I want some bread that's man-made. I don't want the bread that comes down from heaven that gives me life. I wish I had somebody in the house. You see, that's what we are today, because so many of our young people, so many are saying, oh, I'm woke. Oh, I got this religion. I got that religion. They're trying to find religion, and they never even gave the Bible a try. They never even gave Jesus a shot at it, because they never really knew him. They just decided, I want to do something else. I wish I had somebody here. And they're saying that this bread ain't good enough. This bread, that what they were saying was, this bread is contemptible bread. This bread is bread that we don't need to eat, because I'm just tired of it, because it's just stale. It's no good and it's worthless. That's what they were saying. How can you say that the bread of heaven, how can you say that the word of the Lord is worthless and you seek after something else because you haven't even tried it? It's the word of the Lord that's been keeping you all this time. It's the word of the Lord that kept your forefathers. It's the word of the Lord that's keeping you right now. Even in our rebellious state, it's still the word of the Lord. But they rejected the word, and you have to be careful when we reject the word. And I know I said woke, you know, because I know young people, they may look at me funny, woke. But more than being woke, you need to just be aware. You need to be aware that God is real. You need to be aware of what's out there. You need to be aware of the spiritual beings that there. You need to be aware of the doctrines of devil that's floating all over the place. I wish I had somebody here. That's just something for you. Amen. So we need to understand that we cannot reject the bread that God has given us. They rejected the bread. They talked bad about the bread. They complained about the bread. You know how we complain about the sermon? Amen. You know, I don't agree with him. I don't want to hear that. That ain't what I'm used to. I'm used to some prosperity. I'm used to some of this. I'm used to some of that. I'm used to, you know, I'm used to the other kind of preaching. Don't complain. Because God knows what you need. Not only did they complain about the bread, which represents Christ, but Jesus said, not only am I the bread of life, he said, if you drink of this water, you'll never what? He was the water that came from the rock. Remember, they had no water in the desert, but God told Moses, go up to the rock and smite the rock. And out of the rock came water gushing from the rock, and they drank from that rock. All of them drank of that spiritual rock according to the New Testament. And what that means is that they were filled and refreshed by the word of God, the washing by the water of the word of God. Come on and say amen. Now, and so they were saying that the refreshment that I get from God is no good. I need something else. When we begin to complain, when we begin to have complaints, there is some consequences to our complaints. We got to be careful, because the Bible says that we are snared by the words of our mouth. And by the increase of our lips, the more we talk negative, the more we complain, our belly is satisfied. You know what that means? That means that our mind will be satisfied by saying, you know, I knew I wasn't going to never make it. I knew that was going to happen. I knew that this bad thing was going to. We're satisfied now because we knew it, because we talked about it. Come on. You got to get your tongue right. The tongue is a powerful thing. Amen. And so what is one of the first things that God do to us whenever we get converted? He begins to work on our language. That's why you say, I'm going to quit lying and cussing. The first thing we do, that's the first thing we do. Remember Isaiah chapter 6, the Bible said that when he saw the Lord, he said, woe is me. And he said, I'm a man of what? Unclean lips. We have to make sure our lips are clean. What goes in a man don't defile him, but what comes out of a man. Amen? All right, let me go on here because y'all getting sleepy on me. So we got to understand that our complaining brings about a chastisement. Oh, I don't want to be chastised. But he chastened those that he loved. Amen? That's what the scripture says. And even when we talk about communion in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he talks about it starting at verse 28. He talks about examining ourselves. And then he says that when we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we don't, he said, then we can be chastised of God so that we don't be condemned with the world. That's how much God loves us. He does not want us to be what? Condemned with the world. Now, look at what it says here. He says verse number six, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Much. That means a whole lot of people start dying. And why they start, and you got to be careful when you start agreeing in other people's complaints. You know, it started with a few folks that was complaining. And then everybody start picking up on the complaints. Come on and say amen. You got to stop that. You got to stop and say, you know, we ought to just be glad that God has blessed us. Amen. The other day I went to the doctor for a checkup, and these two men was in there, and another pastor. We were all talking, and everything was good. Well, they got called, and they went back, and I'm sitting there by myself, and then this other guy come in, and the first thing he said, this don't make no sense. They scared all us together like this. And he just start complaining about everything. The medical field got us hostage, and he just going on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And I said, well, what time your appointment? It's at 8:45, but it was 8:30. And I said, I just sat there and listened. And then I said, well, we just ought to be thankful that God gave doctors the wisdom and knowledge so that he can warn us of things that we need to pray for. You know you right. He stopped his complaining, but he wanted me to join in. I said, I'm not going to join in. I'm just going to be thankful that all I'm here to do is a little blood work. I could be here for something else. Uh-huh. Come on and say amen now. And so people want you to join in their complaining. If we fail to realize it at the moment, we will fall right in and complain. We complain about the sunshine, and we complain about the rain coming. We complain about the people. We complain about who didn't do this and who didn't do that. Stop complaining about everybody. It's a good message for me. But when they started complaining, it took like wildfire, and the whole camp started complaining. And notice what they did. They started talking about God first. This thing ain't working for me. They start talking about God first. Then they say anything equated to God, the man of God. Start talking about him. And you know what else? If you keep talking, what happens? Then you start talking about the church folk. Start talking about the church. Ah, the church ain't this. The church ain't nobody did it. Ain't nobody. You start complaining about that. And the devil wants to trick you into complaining because he knows that chastisement comes right after complaining. Y'all with me? Say something. Chastisement comes after your complaining. Tell somebody to stop complaining before you get a whooping. Look at the consequences here. The consequences, I know you don't want to hear this message. You thought something else. You're going to be lifted up. But I'm trying to get you here, trying to get you to the place of being lifted up. We can't be lifted up with all that mess holding us down. Verse 6 says, and the Lord sent fiery serpents. Look at how bad this was. These fiery serpents, what the word fiery means, seraph, which means the fire, means that they were so poisonous that when they bit you, it burned. It burned. When they bit you, it burned. And so he says that the fiery serpents, they were among the people. And if we see a snake now, we out. I heard somebody say, if you see a snake in my house, they can have the house. We gone. But the snakes came among the people. They didn't know where the snakes were. The snakes came among them and said, oh, it was so many of them, they were just biting folks. So many snakes. And can you imagine now you was complaining about a wilderness where you didn't see no snakes. Lord have mercy. And because you complain, here come nothing but snakes. See, when you talk negative, negativity comes to you. Don't complain about the place God has you now, because you don't know what you're going to bring in that place. God has a protection around you already. He's kept you and he's going to keep you. But when you start complaining, you put a breach in the protection. All right. Thank you, Antonio. So he says that verse 6 says that a lot of them died. Not a few, thousands of them. So much, verse 7 says, and therefore the people came to Moses. Look at this. The consequences was that they begin to die because of their doubt. They begin to die because of their mouth. They begin to die because of their complaint. I wish I had somebody in here. I wish you see this now, that because what we got to make sure that we understand that life and death is in the power of the what? Tongue. We got to make sure we remember that. It's in the power of the tongue. And we got power because we're created in God's image. And we are the body of Christ, and we have a power and authority. We exercise it in the realm that we live in. And that's why we should say, give us this day our daily bread and not get tired of it. Oh. Tired of going to prayer because ain't nobody going to show up. Tired of going to Bible study because I can be home watching my TV shows. You better DVR that mess and get to where you can get a word. Amen here. We got to stop making excuses for our selfishness. In order to be a disciple, you have to be selfless. You got to put God first or you're not a disciple. Point blank. All right, let me go on. Then verse 7 says, and then they came to Moses and said, we have sinned. Look at this. After their chastisement, see, sometimes we ain't going to act right until God whoop us. They begin to confess their sin. Look at this. This is the way to the cross, I'm telling you. This is the way to salvation. This is the way to freedom. This is the way to all that salvation brings us, the liberty. He says that they came and they said, Moses, we have sinned. And we have spoken against the Lord and against you. How are you going to tell a man we've been talking about you? Now, you can say, man, I said the wrong thing about God. But you're going to tell me to my face? Now, that's why you know Moses was a meek man. More meek than anybody in the camp of Israel, because he didn't say, I ain't praying for nothing. He didn't say that. Look at what Moses did. Let's go. Because many of us, we wouldn't have prayed for him. We would have said, that's what they get. I ain't got no snake bite. I ain't worried about it. I'm sleeping good at night. That's what we would have said. I'm sleeping good. I ain't worried about that mess. Y'all, that's y'all. Y'all deal with it. You learn. Get you a whole killer snake. Get you some snake away. Pull some sulfur out. But I ain't worried about you. That's what we would have done. Am I right? Come on, don't pretend now. Don't pretend. Because I can think of some people right now I would have said, All right. Just try to see if y'all awake out there. Don't go to sleep on me. Come on, tell somebody. Don't go to sleep on the pastor here. He's giving you some good word. It may not be candy today, but you need this. Amen. It may be some castor oil. You need it today. It's medicine for our soul. It's a reality check. Amen? Amen. From the front to the back, we all get checked on this one. So he says, Moses, we need you to intercede for us, basically. He said, because we talked about the Lord and we've spoken against him and against you, pray unto the Lord. Now you need me. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Moses interceded for the ones who was talking about him. Isn't that something, how God expects us to still do that even though people have done us wrong? God still expects us to pray for those that despitefully use us, to turn the other cheek. He expects us to love our enemies. I wish I had somebody here. How is it that we can preach hate, talk hate, teach hate? How can you follow any other religion when God says, if you do these things, I'll make sure your life is all right? He said, Moses, pray. They tell Moses, pray and ask the Lord to take away these serpents from us. Lord, don't just heal us. Move the problem. And so Moses goes to God and he prays. He says, and the Lord said unto Moses, Moses, I'm going to tell you what to do, because I'm going to get you, I'm going to help you to get some confidence in the people, get confidence in you again. I want you to take a serpent, Moses. I want you to take a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he look upon it, shall what? Live. So after they confessed, Moses went in and he called on the Lord, and he began to get some instructions from God. And he says, God tells him, Moses, take this brass serpent. You know, it's the same. It looks the same as when you go to a doctor's office, you know, that serpent that's on that pole right there. And so he says, Moses, take that serpent and put it up. And when people look upon it, then that's going to help them to be healed. They won't die if they can look upon it. Now, look at what Moses does now. In verse 8, it says that we have to understand that we have to concentrate and continue. Even though we complain, even though we got chastised, even though there's consequences to our complaint, we must make a confession and we must have a concentration to continue and live in the way that God wants us to live. Amen? Amen. Look at verse 8. And the Lord, verse 9. It says, and Moses made the serpent of brass and put it upon a what? Pole. And it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And I'm almost done now. Give me a few minutes, about 7-8 minutes, I'm done. He says that when they were concentrating on the pole, look at this here. When instead of looking at the serpent, instead of feeling the, even though they were being bitten at the moment, even though they could feel the pain, instead of focusing on the pain, let's stay focused on the pole. I wish I had somebody in here. Instead of focusing on the serpent might bite me, let me stay focused on what God has put before me. I wish I had somebody in the house. See, we are too busy focusing on what's wrong rather than focusing on what God has put before me. The Bible said that we are the press toward the mark for the prize of the high call that is within Christ Jesus. And look at this. We got to forget those things which are behind us and reach to what is before us. Come on and say amen here. In order for me to be able to make it, I got to keep my eyes on the prize. I got to keep my focus. I got to lift up my head unto the hills for whence cometh my help, because my help comes from the Lord. Do I have any witnesses in here? We got to stay focused. And tell your neighbor, neighbor, you need to stay focused. You need to concentrate on Jesus rather than concentrating on what they said. You need to concentrate on God rather than concentrating on the doctor's report, because the Bible says, whose report will you believe? I believe the report of the Lord. Come on, focus on what God said and not what I heard and they said. I wish I had a few people in the house that said, I'm going to focus on the right things. I'm not going to focus on the wrong things. It said Moses, after he put that serpent up there, and it came to pass that if any man had been bitten, any man that had a snake bite, any man that had experienced this pain, any man that had death interjected into their life, if you just focus on what's hanging there, I wish I had somebody. We got to learn how to focus on the cross of Jesus, because it was the cross of Jesus that brings healing. It was the cross of Jesus that brought the deliverance that we need. It was the cross of Jesus that brought us out of the pain that we suffered. And what the consequences was that we were supposed to have, it was Jesus Christ who took away all the consequences. So why in the world will I trade in all of that for to do something else? Why in the world would I trade in that for a different religion? Why in the world would I trade in that for the complaint? Why in the world would I trade in that to do my own thing? I refuse to do it. I'm going to focus on Jesus, because he said on the cross while he was hanging there, he said, it is finished. I wish I had some people today tell him, I'm finished with this, because Jesus said it's finished. I'm finished complaining. I'm finished belly aching. I'm finished getting in my pity party. I'm finished feeling sorry for myself. I'm finished going through the same old mess and having the same old stress. I'm finished with it. It's not going to keep me down. All it's going to do is raise me up. I wish I had somebody in the house that said, it is finished. I'm going to concentrate on Jesus. Oh, come on and shout yes in the place. When we look at the whole experience, this whole experience is a picture of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the Old Testament is a shadow of the things that was going to come in the new. So here was the shadow. It was showing us that one day, as it says in John chapter 3, around verse 14, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And then it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I think I got everlasting life because I'm keeping my eye on the prize. I'm looking up to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. He's the first and the last. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Oh, come on and say amen here. He's my doctor and my lawyer. Better yet, I'm going to erase that. He's not my doctor. He's my healer, because a doctor has to practice medicine, and all God has to do is give his word. He said he sent his word, and he healed us. Now, I know you may be going through some hurt. I know you may be dealing with some pain. You may even have sickness in your body, but he has a word to heal you. There's no word that you got. There's no pain that you have that the word can't heal. I wish I had a few people in the house that say, I understand that, preacher, but what about when it keeps on happening? I'll keep on looking. When you look at that word, behold, he said, whoever behold the serpent, that means that if you keep on looking with other people complaining in your ear, I'm going to keep on looking. With the snakes biting you on your ankles, I'm going to keep on looking. When you feel the pain and the venom going through your body, I'm going to keep on looking. Since we have power over death, I wish I had somebody that we got power. We got so much power. If we got power over death, how is it that we let our problems cause us all this pain? I wish I had somebody in the house that understood what I was talking about. And then the Bible says that Jesus, as he was lifted up, he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And when he draw you to him, he'll give you everlasting life. But it doesn't stop there. The Bible said, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In other words, don't let the serpent bite them. Don't let the sting of death hurt them. The Bible said that he died, but he didn't stay dead. He got up out of the grave. He said, oh grave, he said, oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? Do I have anybody that understand what I'm talking about? And he rose from the dead, and he gave us all power. Somebody say yes in the house. Somebody say glory to the highest, oh God. There's a story I want to tell you. There was a story of a little boy. You might have heard it before, but hear it again. There was a story of a little boy in the mall. He had went off to the toy store and got lost. His mama looked for him all that evening. Could not find him, and the mall was closed. And they had put an APB out, or better yet, an Amber Alert out, asking for the boys to look for the boy. So all the police was looking for him. His mama was crying. They didn't know where he was. But after the mall had closed, about 11 o'clock that night, his security guard walked by and he saw some feet hanging out. He went up and he said, oh, there's a little boy. This must be the boy they're looking for. He was laid fast asleep on a bench. Oh, come on and say amen. And when the boy, he was woken up, the security guard said, are you the one they're looking for? He said, I don't know, but I can't find my mama. He said, but that's all right. He said, I'll take you home. He said, when he got ready to go home, the boy, he said, do you know your address? And the boy said, no, I don't know my address. He said, well, do you know what neighborhood? He said, I don't know my neighborhood. He said, but if you just keep on driving, there is a church. And on top of the church, there is a steeple. And on top of the steeple, there is a cross. And if I can just see the cross, I can get you to my house. And I know my way.